the rest of us. Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus ride.
Dude, that was a good one. Hey, everybody. This is Eric Mann. I'm the host today of Voices from the Frontline, The Quiet Revolution, on KPFK 90.7 FM. Well, we have a terrific show today. We're going to talk one more time about the MTA's racist, as in racially discriminatory, anti-environmental fare increase that's going to... We have a chance to beat back this Thursday, the 24th of May at 9 a.m. at the MTA, and we'll talk about that later in the show. And we are going to go to the phones later in the show at 818-985-5735. But today we actually have some modern-day heroes and heroines doing some very, very important work. And I'm learning a lot, so I'll read what Lisa Adler, our production assistant, wrote. We have with us in studio three students from Jordan High School in Watts. Diamond Killian. Hello, Diamond.
Hello.
Ana Lilia Landa. Mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto.
And Vicente Rosales.
Hi, hello.
Vicente. How you doing?
Fine.
And we also have in studio, but off mic, Ana Exica. How you doing, Anna?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Okay. And a really good organizer from our ally organization, Josh Bush, from the Community Coalition, who's videotaping the audio taping of the live discussion so we could go on iPod, MySpace, YouTube, and all that kind of stuff. And the work that they're doing is pretty incredible. Let me just start reading this because some of the stuff is just for a little introduction. All three are members of the Watts Student Union, a group of students and community members who joined together in March of 2000, which is pretty recent, to demand immediate change to improve the education and learning environment at Jordan High School. The union has 20 demands, and I'll tell you, you know, based on the Black Panther 10 demand, these are very carefully developed demands that include demanding Black and Latino study classes, more support for post-traumatic stress disorder, Know Your Rights courses that students are safe from the police. Recently, students from the union have been targeted by the principal for their organizing activity. For instance, Vicente, who joins us here today, was suspended last week for his organizing. Welcome, everybody, to the show. We're really happy to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got a little movement in the house. My first question is, tell us about the abuses that led to the formation of the Watts Student Union. How'd you think of it? What made you think of it?
Well, from the first time where, like, we became, while entering the school, the whole school system, like, since we were in elementary in Los Angeles, going to, like, LAUSD schools, basically, you don't, in the inner city, you don't receive the best education that you could actually get, so you're not able to go out there and be what you could. So, from education, from elementary to, I don't know, I went to Markham Middle School, and basically Jordan feeds into, I mean, Markham Middle School and Drew Middle School feed into Jordan High School, and those are two really, really messed up middle schools. So, what we ended up doing is that we ended up going, well, I was at Jordan for 4 years, and I was one of the people who, you know, ended up seeing all this bad stuff happening and just saying, you know, we just got to make a change. We can't let this go like this because it's been going on for too long, and I don't want anyone to have to go through the same things that I went through in this school, because a lot of bad things have happened to me and to other people that I know, and it's not something new. It's been something that's been happening, you know, for the longest.
But this is unusual, I mean, in the sense that, I'm going to just throw one more to Vicente and then go to you, Ana Lilia, okay? We're living now in the post-September 11th excuse for a police state, where they've always wanted a police state, they've always had a police state, but this is unusually repressive, what's going on. So what led you, this principal, tell us about this principal, the demands that you've raised, and how did you end up getting suspended, and how are we going to protect you so it doesn't happen again, the other students, and then we'll get to you on a little.
Well, the principal, Dr. Sean, him and Ms. McNally, which is his supervisor, they were astonished when they seen this list of demands because they seen how it was so well written and it was so well put together, and they tried throwing it out that, you know, we had a teacher behind us, when actually we don't. We don't have a teacher behind us. It's basically everything's being done by the students. So we're going out there, we're trying to make this change, and since I'm the student body president and I'm a well-known person, like, they needed someone's face, you know, to put behind what's happening and the activism that's happening through the Watch Student Union. So they ended up going ahead and putting me as one of the main people right there, and they pointed me out and said, you all know what, anything that happens, you know, we're basically going to point it out on you and try and make sure that, you know, we don't catch the blame for it, and it just goes on to you. And he was like, he says that, oh, you all know that I support you guys, I like what you guys are doing, but yet to the fact where he doesn't, you know, try and make any of these demands that we're bringing upon him, you know, happen. Where he's mad because, you know, we're informing our fellow students of what's happening, what's going on. And he's like, no, you all know, he doesn't like what's going on. He's like, he wants everything to go through him and he wants to know everything instead of us, you know, informing ourselves and doing it the way that we think fits best to actually solve the problems in our community.
Well, Anna Lily, I'm going to read you some of the demands. I know you know them, but we demand we receive an education that's relevant to Latino and African-American culture. In our history classes, we want to learn real history, not the Eurocentric biased information we're taught now. In our English classes, we demand to read books, poems, and other material that was written by Latinos and African-Americans. Many of us face stresses that leave us suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. We want PTS days in school where we can have alternative schedules and activities to deal with personal stuff. There's also a big fight over this, I will say, racist mural. We want the racist mural in the library to be taken down. We demand an immediate response of how to put a new mural up. I'm going right to the core of the problem. We want the school name changed. We no longer want to be known as David Starr Jordan, since he was a known racist and eugenicist. So pick a demand of all those demands that you feel strongly about that you want to explain to people on KPFK 90.7. Why are you fighting for those demands? Pick a couple if you want.
Okay, just the whole learning more about our cultures. Our schools are mostly Latino and African American. And just last week, we were taking CST testing, which is a standardized test offered by the state of California. And one of my classmates was voicing out some of the questions, and he's all, oh, who was Cesar Chavez, some famous boxer? And it's sad that people in our own community don't know about their own culture, and they don't know that Cesar Chavez was fighting for the rights of farmers here in California, and that they're like, oh, no, for real, he is this famous boxer. And they were really believing that. And they're like, he never fought for anyone's rights, and that's the only way they know him. And that's what we're facing at school. And the principal says, oh, no, you should know about your culture. And our parents, even some of our parents are, oh, if you want to learn about your culture, then you should go look for it all by yourself. But sometimes we don't have time for that. And it's good to have it on campus and learn about it from a teacher and just have a class where we can see what input we gave into this culture that we have now.
Well, we're here with students from the Watch Student Union. They're at Jordan High School. I'll come back to you again. Diamond Killian,
yes.
You also talk about some of those demands. Pick another couple of those demands and tell the listeners why you're fighting for them.
I'm fighting for taking down the mural. I think it's so depressing. It shows, here on the mural, it shows that blacks are incapable of producing and writing music and going further in the music industry. Latinos partying and having the women do whatever their spouse tell them. And you have whites who are going to be these bright lawyers and literature writers and are going to pursue a better life. We want the same thing. We should be equal. We need something. It's bad enough that we're in a poverty neighborhood that all we know is poverty. We all share poverty. But it will help a lot if we have some uplifting, encouraging things at our school that's letting us know that We're all going to make it. We're all going to get through this. We're going to succeed. We need to hear that. The students at our school, we don't get exposure. And once we see that there's a better life for us and everything is going to be, once we see that it's going to be a better life for us and we all can get through these struggles, then that'll be better on us because we know that we can make it out. And it's a way beyond just, it's a way beyond just sitting and watch and waiting for something to happen. Then we can take action.
Well, you know, I've done a couple of books. I've done a lot of books. I wrote a book called Comrade George, An Investigation into the Life, Political Thought, and Assassination of George Jackson. Does anybody know who George Jackson was? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's because you don't have it in the textbooks that mm-hmm. you should begin. He was a black revolutionary prisoner. He wrote a book called Soledad Brother, and he was killed in San Quentin prison. I wrote a book called Dispatches from Durban about the World Conference Against Racism. And I wrote a book called Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. What's important about what you're doing is this is a white settler state. The United States was formed by white European settlers who killed the indigenous people, who stole northern Mexico, who created slavery. And they rule through such an ideological perpetuation of white supremacy. So even students of color and oppressed nationality students, as you said, you know, here's the white lawyer, the black dancer, and the Latino happy person. And, you know, so what does that do? It reinforces in the minds of a lot of people that mm-hmm. white people are better mm-hmm. and oppressed nationality. In fact, you know, we should have
that maybe we're never going to be at their level.
Right. So I think fighting, that's why I think that so at the time that you're fighting this great thing. What's the principal's response, Vicente? Does he support you? What is his proposal on this mural?
He says that, oh, when I first came to this school, I seen the mural and I was awestruck. I felt the same way that you did. And he says that when he sees that mural, it just fuels him and like all this other stuff. And it just makes him, you know, want to change the stereotypes that are on that mural. But I don't really, he's all like, yeah, you know, we should use this as a teaching block. But the sad thing is that where he's been there for 2 years, 3 years now, and he's like, he's right there sitting down telling me, you know, we should use this as a teaching block. But in fact, a lot of the majority of the student body never actually care to look at the mural and actually see, you know, oh, see it for what it actually is for. And until we started handing out flyers and telling people, you all know, pointing it out to them, saying, you all know, this is what it's saying and this is what it's implying. And until then, have people start saying, oh, you all know, this mural's bad, you know, we don't want it. So, on him, like, his argument, oh, you know, we should use it as a teaching blog, but for the 3 years that he's been there, and there hasn't been no action for what he's trying to say, and he hasn't, like, initiated any action, so there's no merit to what he's saying.
Okay, Vicente, now, Ana Lilia, I got a lot of hands up, and then Diamond. Go ahead, in order, just keep going.
Well, not only that, but it's like, we've been talking to some of the students, and the response we get from them, at least, not the majority, but at least a small amount of them, is, why do we want to break what's been going on? They say, oh, well, that is what we do, you know. We do party. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's not the only thing we do out there. It's like, we do have successful people in our Latino and African American cultures, and those should be recognized in another mural on campus. And they don't want to break the tradition of us being put below the white man, and we should be.
Mm-hmm. Adding to what Fazente said and Annalie, our principal, he wanted us, well, some brief history about Jordan.
Good.
They have had riots between Hispanics and African Americans. They have been having many disputes. And so they tell us, oh, why don't you guys get together? Won't you guys be as one? You guys are on the same campus. And so people have been taking that in consideration, like, okay, we can form a group, which is student union, and we can bring those kids who want to share their ideas about the school and school improvement. We can bring that out. So as soon as we come together and unify with each other, it's like they don't want to see that happen because they know that we are learning and finding out more and more stuff. We're not just a student that's going to sit there and just sit in a classroom and do work and learn. That's all they expect us to do. They don't want us to go deep-rooted down and find out what our rights are, what are they going to give us? What, like, how to put forth effort as a teacher? What are you guys going to teach us? They don't want us to find out about that. They just want us to just go to school and that's it. It's like we're getting together and we're seeing more. We want change, you guys. Everybody stereotypes like, oh, I say I go to Jordan High School. Oh, they're always rioting. Is it bad if that you get robbed? You get jacked? No, none of that stuff happened. So we're tired of those stereotypes. We're tired of all of that. We're trying to make it a positive environment so we can all accomplish something. And actually, when the WASP people come and they see how intelligent we are and how we all work together.
Well, listen, this is great. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontline, 90.7 FM, KPFK, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We're on in studio with a bunch of excellent student organizers from the Watts Student Union, Diamond Killian, who you just listened to, Annalie Landa, and Vicente Rosales. And we're going to keep going, in fact. What's it like? Well, let me start with a sentence and then a question. I think one of the things that's hard for an organizer, because I've been organized for a lot of years, is you go into the community and you think, okay, black and Latino unity, everybody's going to be on your side, and then you listen to all kinds of very confusing stuff. Pay attention in here. So, you know what I mean? Like, you think that everybody's going to agree with you, and then you watch the way that the ideology of the system exists within a lot of the students themselves. Like when we talk to people about reparations, a lot of black people say, I don't want to talk about slavery. It depresses me too much. When they say you want black and Latino unity until you get it. And then when they get it, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. So what's it like trying to fight? I want to stay on the issue of fighting Eurocentric thought, because this is pretty advanced, if I may say, what you're doing. What does it feel like realizing that you're a minority within your community as you're going to try to build a majority? What's it like? You know, to go out there and realize not everybody agrees with you, even though I agree with you, but that ain't going to do a whole lot for you, except get you on the show. So what's it like as an organizer being out there and having to struggle with the ideas of fellow students? Let's start with, keep going.
Well, I see it as with how education has political implications. So when you enter the classroom, what you're being taught is what basically the lawmakers in Sacramento want you to learn. So you got to understand that, like, right now we're in high school, so our peers who, you know, we're trying to help out and we're trying to work as one with in order to solve our problems, how, you know, we've been through all this, and we've been through the educational system, so a lot of the students feel powerless because, you know, they have that white savior mentality where it's just, as from the books that you read to, you know, what you actually learn in the class, the only things that you learn about in your class are things that, oh, you've been conquered, the new world, and things like that, which it doesn't, you know, none of that actually applies to you. Like, you don't have any relationship to it, so where you just feel beat down. But what we're trying to do, we're trying to say, hey, you all know, we do have power. We got to take this power. We got to realize that it's our power, and we got to get the community involved in order to actually make some change, because until we get the community involved, we'll make the change. But, like, we do have that, the resentment of the people who don't like us, you know, saying, oh, you know, I don't like what you guys are doing. But there's always going to be people who don't like what you're doing, but we know what we're doing is going to help our people out and empower our people and make, like, once our stuff happens at the end of the day, it's going to be a better day because we're going to be able to, you know, realize what's happening. We'll become more conscious and we'll actually start getting more things done and, you know, uplifting our community, because what happens in, like, what we're fighting for is things in the school, because the things in the school goes on to the community, to our homes, to everything. It's not like we're not just fighting for better education. We're fighting for better lives, because this goes, the education that we receive goes beyond school.
Well, before I get to you, a couple of times, how do people reach you? We got a very nice teacher from Belmont High called in and said, big props to you and Eric and the students, and keep up the great work. So you got support coming in. How would people reach you? How do you join the Watt Student Union? How do you find the Watt Student Union?
Well, we are on MySpace. We're at www.myspace.com/WattStudentUnion. And that's one of the best ways to reach us.
Okay, so it's
www.myspace.com/WattStudentUnion.
I'm going to go home tonight, check out my MySpace page, check out the Bus Riders Union MySpace page, and contact www.myspace.com/WattStudentUnion. Where do you want to go from here? Tell us about what it's really like to organize. I mean, you're trying to build a movement. It's hard. It's a chess game. So they've suspended Vicente. One of the things apparently is true, they want to make this racist mural into a national monument, so or something, so it can't ever be gotten rid of. They're repressing people. I'm sure them. When you go home, maybe your parents are saying, why are you getting involved in this? And at least it's, nope, good, good. Let's hear it. Tell me what's going on.
Well, at first they were. They're like, oh, if you get in, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Just let things happen, and that's the way they should be. But after a while, I started talking more about it, and they're a bit more supportive now, but they still have that mentality that if I do get in trouble, I'm going to private school. So that's one of the things that's really there right now.
Well, tell us a little bit about fear. I mean, during the 60s, you know, before you all were around, we went into demonstrations, and we were, you know, we would say, we are not afraid, but we were, you know. But what we meant was, we're not afraid because these guys had, police would come, they'd have billy clubs, they'd beat us up even in the 60s. So what's it like when one student gets suspended? What fears and what threats are being made? And in terms of, quote, getting in trouble, you're going to get in trouble because you're carrying out your so-called constitutional rights. What's it like, and what kind of threats are being made, and how come people try to get some of those threats off your back?
For what it's like, it just seemed like no matter what, you're going to actually make some change in the system that we're in right now, you're going to get in trouble. That's how it's set up, because they don't want change. So it's just going out there and saying, how much am I going to risk in order to make this happen? Because, you know, change, it takes, you know, it always takes something to make change, and it just takes one person to stand up and say, hey, you all know we need change, and that's what our group is trying to do. We're getting up and we're saying we need change. Like, I was suspended, and that's something that I was willing to, even though it was unjust, because I didn't do anything wrong. All I was doing was just passing out pink ribbons, but yet, even though it was unjust, I was still going to do it because, like, they could suspend me for 3 days, but, you know, they can't suspend the thoughts that the people have, no matter what. You know, you just can't hold that back. And it just goes back into, you know, what are you willing to lose? Or how much, you know, are you willing to just, like, take?
We're going to take a short break. This is Eric Mann. You're on the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. This is KPFK 90.7 FM. The show is called Voices from the Frontlines. The guest, so the last person you heard, Vicente Rosales, who's the student union in prison. And then there's Annalie Landa, who's one of the organizers, and Diamond Killian. We got any music? We can take a short breakout, and then we'll come back.
Dead press.